I want you to take precautions. Don't be around big crowds. Take care of yourself. Don't have the fear the world has. My goodness, don't go around panicked with your hair on fire. We don't have that fear. The Bible says you're not given the spirit of fear, but you've been given the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So don't have that fear. Don't be afraid. If you're sick, stay home. If you're well, come on and worship God. Now, with that being said and this being done, turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Now, does anyone know how we left off last week? Who can quote me the last part of chapter 8? Anybody? Well, that's okay. I'll help you. He says, "For I am persuaded that neither death..." Now, honey, don't go too fast. I want to help you. You're jumping over. Calm down. Well, she gets excited. She's like a horse at the Kentucky Derby. She's just wanting out there running. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any creature, nothing that God has created, not man, not anything, not angels nor demons, not good nor evil, nothing, nothing, not one thing can separate me from the love of God." But boy, he don't end there. That's the world wanting to stop right there, folks. You better put the rest of it in there, or I'll tell you right now, you will be separated from the love of God. You say, "But God is love." You'll never see it. You'll never experience it. You'll never know it. Because he says, "Which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, there are those who say that 9, 10, and 11 of Romans is parenthetical. It's like it doesn't really belong, that they just added, that Paul just added in there for emphasis on something. Well, look, smarter people than me say that. First of all, let me put that in there. But I don't believe that. See, I don't believe that at all. I believe 9 follows 8. I believe 10 follows 9. I believe 11 follows 10. That's just how, look, I'm a simple person. You know, because 9 starts out like this. He says, "For I say the truth in Christ, I lie not." Here's what he's saying. God knows what I'm about to tell you is the truth. Now, who wrote the Bible? God wrote it. Every word of it. Paul's penning it. But you see, you can't put Paul in there like he's on his own now. No, God don't allow people on their own. God's writing this. Now, this is Paul's emotions. This is what he's feeling. And this is his heart. I wrote in my Bible, God felt heart. Or God wouldn't allow him to say it and put it in there. But he says, "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost." To what? "To this very fact, that I have a great heaviness in my heart and a continual sorrow The word heaviness and the word sorrow are the same Greek word. You say, well, why didn't they translate it that? Well, because what he's trying to say is this sorrow that he has is a burden to him. It's heavy on him. How many of you have experienced sorrow to where it's heavy on you? It's a burden to you. Well, he doesn't just say that it's heaviness. He says it's a great heaviness. It's really weighing on me. What's weighing on him? Oh, he says, for I could wish. You say, Tom, I thought you was in Isaiah 55. I'm going there. I'm just telling you something. He says, for I could wish. Well, that's an interesting word in the Greek. I'm not going to ask if you know what it means, because you probably didn't look it up. I did. It means to pray to God. So here's what he says. For I'm praying to God. This is my prayer to God. That I could, what? That I myself might be cursed. That word means excommunicated. You know what it means to be excommunicated, don't you? It means to be thrown out, kicked out, separated from. Ban. I mean, we got a ban on people coming from China. What does that mean? They're not coming. We got a ban on people from Europe now. What does that mean? That means they're not coming. He says, I could wish that myself was banned from Christ. Think about that, honey. Think about that. For my kinsmen, my brethren, who are Israelites, here's what he's saying. He's saying, I'd go to hell for them. Think about that. And hey, he's brought in God's His witness, folks. This ain't words. I'll tell you what, I got to reading that, and I tell you, son, it broke me like a shotgun. He said, I'd go to hell for him if I could. I pray to God he'd just let me go to hell. Well, where in the world would he get a heart like that and a mindset like that? Where would he get that? Oh, the Bible says, having this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, esteeming others greater than yourself. He said, I'd go to hell for you if I could. But I can't. I've got family members. I've got friends. They're going to hell if they don't change. Where's our burden? Why aren't we on our knees crying out to God, oh God, help me to reach them some way? You say, Tom, I thought you was going to Isaiah 55. I just went. Oh, come, at him that is athirst. Come. Well, you know now whose heart that is, don't you? Paul couldn't go to hell for him. You know who could? You know who did? The only one that could. The only way is to come to the one who can pay your debt. The only way is to come to the only one who can set you free. Paul couldn't set him free. He wanted to. That's why when they tried to kill him, they stoned him. They threw him out of synagogues. Yet he'd say, I'd go to hell for you if I could. I want you to be saved. Do you see why 9 follows 8? He just talked about being secure in Christ. But he knows they're not. We feel secure in Christ. But those that are not in Christ, they're not secure, folks. They're in dire jeopardy. I'll give you a good example. My brother Dave, because I could tell his heart was so heavy. Pastor Orbank Baptist Church. He said, "Tom, I remember baptizing this little boy when he was 7. He said he's 23. When he got on a motorcycle to go back to his girl's house where he was living, he didn't make it. He's gone now. And his life from the time I baptized him to now doesn't demonstrate anything that he knew God." He said, "What do I do?" I said, "Well, son, you can't preach him somewhere where you don't know where he's at." He said, "That's why I'm just going to talk about the sovereign God. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" You know, I say this, and please don't misunderstand. You say, "Tom, you're rambling." That's okay. I'll ramble. Bless God. God's going to ramble with me. I worry. Please don't misunderstand me. I worry about us plucking our children too early, folks. You know, sometimes children can be so impressionable. And mom and daddy wants them a certain thing. And to please mom and daddy, they'll do it. That's how much they think of mom and daddy. We ought not be plucking anybody. Bless God, the Holy Spirit, don't pluck them, don't pluck him. Let him do the plucking. I've seen so, and listen, I'm one of them. You're looking at one. My goodness, I made more professions of faith than you can count on your hands and toes. From the time I was 10-year-old to the time I was 30-year-old. None of them changed me. None of them. We need to know the seriousness of this. And so 55 is serious. It's serious language. I'm going to read it to you. "Oh, everyone that thirsteth, come." What's the key word there?
Come.
Huh?
Come.
Well, that's the key word. You see, you're not going to come unless you're thirsty. That's why he put thirst before come, folks. It's sort of like this. Anybody ever watch black and white westerns?
Yeah.
I love black and white westerns.
Lone Ranger.
You know, well, the Lone Ranger, black and white. I love them. For one reason, I can hear them and I can follow them. It's not hard to pick out the good guys. They wear white hats. And it's not hard to pick out the bad guys. They wear black hats. You know, and by the names, you know, you can tell who they are. So I like to watch them. But you know, you see these where they in a wagon train and they're crossing the prairie or the desert. And the water's getting low. And they've got this scout. And the scout says, "Now we need to get off this course because I know I've been down this way. I know where the water's at." And the wagon master says, "Oh no. No. We're not getting off course now. There'll be water up here. We got to keep going. Now you got to get over here to where there's water." "No, we're going to keep going." Well, you know what happens? The water keeps getting lower. Their thirst keeps getting greater. You know what will cause them to not listen to the wagon master and listen to the scout? The thirst. You know what will cause a person to quit listening to the world and start listening to God? And if they don't have that thirst, folks, they're not going to listen. They're going to stay right on their own way. File that. They're going to stay right on their own way because they think that there's water their way. And they're going to keep going. And you know what happens to people whose water runs out in the desert? Huh?
They die.
That's why he says the end of the broad way is death. There's no water on that way, folks. I know there's many people on it. And I know we have friends and neighbors and family and as far as we know, they're good people. They're as good as gold. I mean, they'd do anything for you. As the old saying says, they give you the shirt off their back. But God's not interested in a shirt off their back. He wants to know, are you thirsty for him? Are you thirsty enough to where you're going to listen to him? Or are you just going to keep going your own way? So he says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye and buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Won't charge you anything for it. Oh, it's not free. It's just free to you. Cost God everything. You know, sometimes we forget that, folks. You know, that's the good news of the gospel. God was willing to give everything. He says, he became poor that we might become rich. He thirsted that we might have water. You remember on the cross, what did he say? I thirst. His thirst brought us water. His death brought us life. What a God. He didn't have to do that, Stacy. Honey, he didn't have to do that. He could have left you and John and Shirley and Helen and Brenda and me right where we were. But oh, he said, I'll thirst, so you won't have to. So he says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Why in the world are you, why would you go after the world's way? There's no bread. See, he went from water to bread. Why would he go from water to bread? Well, that's who he is. He's the water of life. He's the bread of life. He's not talking about water and bread, folks. He's talking about himself. He says, why would you not seek the way I want you to seek? You say, Tom, I didn't see that in there. Well, just give me time. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which satisfies not? I see people all the time doing things that they think is going to bring them satisfaction in life. They think more money. They think a better job. They think a better home. They think better friends. They think all this stuff. It won't satisfy you. Oh, it might be temporarily satisfying. But when the doctor walks in and says, son, you better get your house in order. You're leaving here. It won't satisfy you then. You know, I've not seen the richest man in this world that it'd help him one bit when his last breath's coming. It won't satisfy. Hearken diligently. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, isn't it? Is there anything better in this world than God talking to you like that? Think about that now. You have to realize who God is, that he would talk so lovingly, so tenderly, so one-on-one with you. It's like your best friend sits down and, boy, you just start enjoying one another. And he says, hearken diligently unto me. I'm the water. I'm the breath. Want me more than you want anything in this world, and you'll have me. And as he told the woman at the well, you'll never thirst again. Just one drink. That's all it takes. One drink. Think about that. Think about that. How many of you have ever been thirsty? How many of you have ever took one drink and never thirsted again? But did you know, with your soul, one drink, honey, one real big swig of God. Glory, I know what that does to you. I know what it does to me. I pulled up at a red light. My lips were parched. My tongue was swollen. I was thirsting. I was thirsting for God. He said, well, son, just take your big drink. That's all you'll ever need. Well, glory, I've never thirsted again. I've wanted more of him, but I'll tell you one thing, I've never wanted that again because it satisfied me. And it's still satisfying me. Give me a second. Don't go away. I'll clear off my lens here and I can see. Incline your ear and come unto me here. Your soul will live. Folks, that's not just words. Please pick up what I'm putting down. That's Almighty God. Can't you hear that tender voice saying that? You heard that tender voice, and I know you did. I saw the change come over you. You can see when the change comes. Bless God, it's not mystical. It's not magical. You can see it. Clear as day. You can see the thirst go away. You can see the hunger go away. You can see the new person come to life. And he says, incline your ear. Come unto me. Hear. Your soul shall live. I'll make an everlasting. Anybody know what that's talking about? Anybody know what that's talking about? I'll go back here, Scott. He don't care. You have any idea what that's talking about, Scott? Here's what it's saying, son. He says, God, if you'll just thirst for me, if you'll hunger for me, and if you'll come to me because you're hungering and thirsting, and if you realize that it doesn't cost you anything now, it's all of me, if you'll realize that, I'll make a promise to you, and it'll never end. I'll give you life. I'll promise you life. And that promise never going to end. So you know what will never end? The promise of life. Your life will never end. We call it eternal life. We call it everlasting life. He says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. With that salvation comes that promise. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him should not perish. Oh, I'll make this promise to you. You'll never perish. You'll have everlasting life. What a God. And that's why Paul is so burdened. He wants the Israelites, the Jews, his brethren, and his kinsmen in the flesh, he says, I want them to know this. He says, because unto them were given, this is back in Romans, unto them were given the covenants. The covenants. Unto them were given the giving of the law. Unto them were given promises. Unto them were given service to God, meaning worship. Listen, all this adoption, he says, adoption was given to them. All these things were given to them. Well, how many of you have friends or loved ones that are lost? Raise your hand if you do. Do you know that those things are given to them? All they have to do is come to Him. They're theirs. It's not just for the Jewish people. It's for the Gentiles. It's for all who'll come to Him. He says, if you'll just come, these things belong to you. Because I promised you. Remember, He says, and because I could swear by no greater. Remember? He says, I swear by my own name. That's how much he thought of it. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord God. For the Holy One of Israel, He hath glorified thee. He says, because of what I've done for you, Israel, the Gentiles will get to come. And one, he's cut them off now. Israel has been cut off because they rejected. He came into His own, and His own received Him not. And He cut them off. And after He cut them off, He sent this message to the Gentiles. Remember, he said, Paul, I'm sending you not to Israel, but I'm sending you to the Gentiles. But Paul is still a Jew. He's sent to the Gentiles, but he's still a Jew. And he still has this burden for his brethren in the flesh, his kinsmen, his fellow Israelites, because he says, these things are given to you. Why are you not accepting them? And we should be the same way to our family, to our friends, and say, these things are given to you. Why are you rejecting it? And it ought to cause, like Jeremiah, it ought to cause our eyes to be as rivers of water. He says, oh, that my eyes were as rivers of water, that I might weep over Israel. How long has it been, folks? I'm not being mean now. How long has it been since you talked with the Lord to the point where tears are coming down your cheeks and you're just pouring your heart out to God because you know the seriousness of those that are lost? Going to be lost forever without Him. They'll thirst forever. Think about that. He says, if you're thirsty now, you can come. But if you refuse to come, you'll be in hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. You'll be tormented forever. Your lips will be swollen forever. Your tongue will be swollen forever. The parchment in your mouth will be forever. Just ask the rich man if you don't believe me. He said, oh, Abraham, if you could just come, if you could just send Lazarus and let him put one drop of water on my tongue, for I am tormented in these flames. That's not just words, folks. That's reality. If he could talk to you today, you know what he'd say to you? Oh, send somebody back. I have five brothers, he said. Oh, I don't want them to come here. Go back and tell them. Go back and tell them. You know what Abraham said to him? He said, oh, no. No. He said, they wouldn't believe if somebody should even resurrect from the dead to them. Oh, somebody did resurrect from the dead. He says, they have Moses and the prophets. What was he talking about? What was he talking about? Hold it up. Somebody hold it up. Bless God, that's what he's talking about. He says, they got the word of God. I said in Isaiah 55 to them, I said, oh, come. Oh, if you're thirsty, come. Come, drink. It won't cost you anything. Come. Come unto me. And then in the New Testament, Jesus went to before, and remember, he was weeping over Jerusalem. He said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered you together? He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. Don't you know that's God Almighty talking to people? He says, who is man that thou art mindful of him? But God would talk to us like that.
Amen.
That's his love. Paul knew it. And Paul says, oh, I could wish myself were accursed from Christ. I'd go to hell for you if I could. Can I say that? Can I bring God in as a witness to that? Yes, I can. Paul didn't have one thing that you don't have. Paul didn't have one thing that I don't have. He says, my conscience bearing witness with me and the Holy Ghost. Well, last time I checked, I've got the same Holy Ghost he did. All I need, bless God, is to get alone with God, get in the Word of God, and get a burden of God for the people. That's what it takes. That's what it's going to take. But he goes on. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that know not thee run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, for the Holy One of Israel, he hath glorified thee. Seek the Lord. You know why people aren't getting saved, folks? Bless God, they're not looking for him. And you know why they don't seek him? They don't need him. That's the facts. We've watered down this message so much, folks, they don't need him. They've got their own way. And their way's just as good as any way. But he says, seek the Lord while he may be found. You know what that infers? Bless God, there's going to come one day when he can't be found. I told you, listen, I don't believe that any child of God will ever be separated from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. But I'm going to tell you one thing. If you're outside of Christ Jesus, you'll be separated from it. You'll never experience it. You'll never experience the love of God. You'll never experience the goodness of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God. You'll never experience the righteousness of God. You'll never experience anything about God. That's pretty serious stuff. And I know it's not popular. I know people think I'm a maniac sometimes, a fanatical fool. I know they think I'm old-fashioned. I'm not veering away from this, folks. Bless God, I'll take my last breath. I told Pam coming over here this morning. I held this up. I said, honey's being so good to my family. This time last year, I didn't think I'd have my sister. I still got her. This time last year, I didn't think I'd have little Pam. I still got her. I said, I tell you what, I wish my casket could be made of. is this book. I wish, bless God, they could lay me out in this book and say, well, he carried it all the way and he's going to carry it the rest of the way. Because that's what's carrying me, folks. It'll get me through the coronavirus. And all these tests they're running on me, bless God, they'll get me through them too. By the way, they got good results this week on one test they gave me. Said, oh, why, well, you're as good as gold. But, you know, these doctors, they always want to, put, you know, give you the good news and then tear you back down. I said, well, doctor, come on now. Be good to me. He said, well, he said, you might need another test. I said, well, test on, brother, test on. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. What's that inferring?
Hey. Is this referring to also that God will stop dealing with your heart?
Hey, my spirit shall not always strive with man. Listen, I know people don't believe that. I'm going to tell you what, you could be 25-year-old and hear God's last call, and you could live to your 90-year-old. You'll just live, is that 65 more years? I'll get my math right. You'll live 65 years and never hear God call your name out again. Isn't that sad? Folks, that's how serious it is. That's why he says today is the day. He didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say wait till you get your life in order. Wait till you're a little older. Wait till you're more mature. Wait till anything. He said today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart as in the day of provocation when they were in the wilderness and angered me and provoked me to anger. Today is the day. It worries me every time somebody comes in this house lost, folks, and goes out. It worries me. That young boy, 23-year-old, I guarantee when he got on that motorcycle, he wasn't thinking about eternity. I'll guarantee you wasn't. But he is now. Everybody believes in eternity, folks. Everybody believes when the last breath goes out of them. Everybody believes. Everybody does. Well, then he says this. Since that's the case, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. That word return just simply means that you're going to reverse course. That's what it means. You're on the wrong way. He says, I want you to quit going the way you're going and turn around. 180-degree turnaround. Now, that don't mean turn over a new leaf. That means turn around. Turn around. You're going away from me. I want you to turn around and... Thank you, brother. I'm glad you're picking up what I'm putting down. He said, look, why will you keep going away from me? Stop! I'm offering you life, but it's not in your direction. I don't care how good you are. Stop. Turn around and come to me. Isn't that good? You know, if you don't realize who's saying that, you don't see how good it is. The one who said, let there be light. And all of a sudden there was light. The one who took dust. That's particles of dirt, folks, in case you're missing the point. He didn't take a bunch of dirt. He took the particles of dirt. And he made man. That's how great he is. But I'll tell you how good he is. He's so good. He'd say, turn around. I'm back here. I'm not out there. You got to, if you don't turn around, you're not going to find me. Seek me. Want me. Turn around. And guess what? when you turn around, oh glory, maybe I just get excited too much, I don't know. But you know when you turn around, oh glory, you know when you turn around what you see? Oh glory, he's not way over yonder. Bless God, he was right there. He's right there. He's that close to you. Just turn, he's right there. Then he says this, for my thoughts, they're not your thoughts. You better figure this thing out now. I'm God. I'm sovereign. Don't you think you're going to come to me on your terms. I'm God. You're not coming on your terms. Put me up a clock. I'm God. You're not coming on your terms. My thoughts are above your thoughts. My ways, you're not coming your way. You'll come my way, bless God, or you're not coming. Just as the earth is higher than the heavens, he said, the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts are higher than yours. And then he says this, for as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither. I mean, the rain don't come down and go back up. The snow don't come down and go back up. You know what it does? I need a clock. I ain't got a clock. What time is it? Oh, boy, my time's out. I got, but let me, please, I'll go real fast, I promise. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereof I sent it. Now here's what that means. There's two ways. That's his word. There's two ways. There's the straight gate and the narrow way, and there's the wide gate and the broad way. There's two ways. You can go whichever way you want to. His word's not going to change, folks. If you go the wrong way, you'll pay for it. If you go the right way, oh, glory, don't you like this? He'll pay for it. Oh, glory, don't you like that? I mean, if I said to you, I tell you what, Dwayne, give me every dime you owe and I'll go tomorrow and pay it off. Or you can keep the way you're going, you can pay it off. You'd say, well, Tom, I'm not that stupid, son. I'll have it over to your house in the morning.